good morning to you, Lord. So I remember when, we used to, things were better before. Well, so here we are into a new year and things don't really feel that new. And today I'm amazed at the story that tells how simple fishermen left everything they had to follow Jesus. Not an easy task for them, and certainly not an easy task for us. We keep hearing and hearing and hearing that we have to grow the church. We are reading books about how to grow the church. We are listening to blogs about how to grow the church. We're listening to lectures about how to grow the church. And I think that we're stuck in that place where Jesus tells Peter to throw out his net one more time. And Peter is shaking his head in protest and disbelief. He's exhausted. He's been out all night. He's thrown his nets out with no reward, and he can't imagine why it would be any different one more time. The question is, are we willing to continue to throw our nets out when Jesus calls us to do so, or are we stuck? Are we stuck on the shore in a state of disbelief and denial that anything can change? And by the way, what does that mean to change? Listen to our gospel reading today. Jesus is calling on his disciples to change, to drop their fishing nets and become fishers of people. And each year, some of you know, the church is required to fill out what's called a parochial report. And that reports the number of people attending the church as well as the financial well-being of the church. As you can well imagine, our numbers are not much different from last year. But what is different is our attitude. St. Francis, as a church, has grown and is ready to hear the words of Jesus to go out into the boat and toss the nets again. Well, how do we do that? Well, we could go out on the boat again with Jesus and go fishing, but I don't think that's exactly what that means. But it means that something so simple is what we have to look for. We spend so much time looking at all the complicated ways and ideas and so forth that we lose sight of the basic call of Jesus. We have to listen to the voice of Jesus. We have to get past the idea that we've already tried that. We have to get past the idea saying that won't work. And maybe we might even have to retry some things, or maybe just keep listening. Belonging to and attending church isn't part of the fabric of our lives as it used to be. When we were kids, we just went to church. There wasn't any question about it or why or anything. It was just part of what we did. Belonging and attending church is no longer part of what we do. I don't think that the concept has changed so much that each of us is here today because it's what we feel like we should do. Sometimes when we reminisce about it, it seems like listening to Jesus was easier in church than in the world. Oh, it was so much easier then. We just got up, we went to church. Everybody loved each other. We loved potluck. So I don't think, like I said, that a lot of that has changed very much. But the thing of it is that it's getting more and more difficult, I think, to listen. Because there's so much around us that's not, it's just noise. And it blocks out, or tries to block out, what Jesus is calling us to do. And he's calling us to go into the world and to listen. Listen to what it is the world needs. When I was doing training as a counselor, I had to listen to and practice the art of listening. And the goal was for us to participate in the first counseling session without saying a word. We just listened. One of the ways that we greet someone, whether it's someone we know well or someone just passing by, is we ask, "Hey, how are you doing?" And how often do we stop to listen for the answer? Were they already halfway down the block before that even occurs to us? When someone asks us how we are, do we actually tell them how we are? Or do we just say, "Oh, fine," because we know that no one will listen to our response anyway? Now, I know that in the past I have referenced my friend Al, who professed that the only way the church is going to survive was for it to be the happening place in the area that it was, the place where we continue to cast our nets, and the place where we celebrate the bounty that Jesus offers us. And what hasn't changed is that people desperately need to find Jesus. People desperately need to bring Jesus into their lives and into their hearts, and we need to desperately bring Jesus and declare his power, his love, and his mercy in our lives and in the lives that we speak with. We are called to declare the good news that there is hope in the world. One of our alternative Eucharistic prayers, and I really love these words, says, if I could find my spot. I don't want to skip this because it's really lovely. I'll get back to it. But what hasn't changed in all of this is that those that we meet, those that we say, "How are you?" and they say, "Fine." What hasn't changed is that they desperately need someone to really hear how they are. They need to hear that there is hope in the world. Here it is. I love this. One of our alternative Eucharistic prayers says, "Gracious God, you have created the world and filled it with your goodness. We praise you that Jesus is saving the world and making it whole." We say this, but do we believe it? Do we believe that in spite of everything that's going on out there, that Jesus is in it all, Jesus is among us, Jesus is out there saving the world? Do we trust Jesus to take care of the world, or do we insist on taking on Jesus' job instead of our own, our job? It's not our job to fix the world. Not our job to be out there and be able to do everything. Our job is simply to proclaim the good news. Isaiah says, and later Jesus reads in the temple, "The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn." The good news for us is that we don't have to fix everything. God is taking care of that. And there's good news in that God loves us and sustains us, and all the gifts of love and sustenance and above all grace are given to us with no strings attached. We are called to do our job, to proclaim the good news. Our success is not measured by the number of people that attend our church. Our goal should not be measured by the number of people that attend our church. Our goal should be to be the bearers of the light of Christ in the world. Sometimes we fulfill that goal by listening. Listening to Jesus. And sometimes we fulfill that goal by listening to the brokenhearted. When we look around and we see stuff, it's just not that great. This world, it feels like it's going to you-know-where in a handbasket. There are lots of problems without seemingly many solutions. We may not be able to solve all of, or any of what's wrong in the world, but we can proclaim a solution beyond what we can do. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love our neighbor even if we don't like them. Love our neighbors that are different, that disagree with us. Know that they are also loved. And listen. Today we read that Isaiah's sin is declared no more, and he becomes God's messenger. As we speak the confession today, our sins are no more. And it is our turn to listen for and hear that question from God: whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Is our reply, here I am, send me. And remember, we don't have to do any of this alone. God is always with us when we need to have our soul refreshed. God is also with this community. And in this place where we come to have our souls refreshed, we gather here as a family of Christ, and we get strength from one another, and we get strength from the Eucharist, and we gather at the table of God in remembrance of what Christ did for us. What Christ did for us. Another alternative prayer, some of them are really beautiful, says this: the Lord prepared this table for all people, those who love him and those who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been here long, you who have tried and who have failed, come, because it is the Lord who invites you. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. This morning, I don't have too many papers. Our collect says, set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins. That's the thing that keeps us back more than anything, is getting caught up in the bondage of our own sins. Forgetting that Jesus has done everything that needs to be done to forgive us, and that we are ready to walk anew, ready to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Amen. Please join me in the words of the